looking at my message, and I ended up taking a little bit from my message and using it for kind of basically for my opening. But before I start, I want to read a couple sections from two different older devotions that I had. First one is like this. The Old Testament quotes God as saying, "I will," numerous times. God promises David, "I will set up your seed after you, who will come before from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." No uncertainty in those words. Recognizing God's faithfulness to his promises, King Solomon says in his prayer of dedication for the temple, "You have kept what you have promised your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand." Centuries later, the Apostle Paul said that all of God's promises are yes in Christ. In a world of uncertainty, our trust is in a faithful God who will always keep his promises. And then the other one that I've got a little bit here. Thousands of years ago, Moses wrote these words to the Israelites just before he died. "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The words "everlasting arms" refer to the protection and preservation of God's people. Despite the stressful circumstances they would surely face, they could rest in the assurance of God's watchful care. Amen. To set for all times, God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Rick spoke about Jesus fulfilling God's mission perfectly by defeating Satan. To reiterate, Romans 16, verse 20, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." As soon as we become believers in Christ, his grace and his power is indeed available to us. Turn to Lamentations, chapter 3. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Amen. Amen. We know that Jeremiah writes these laments as he watches the intense suffering of God's people and the utter devastation of Jerusalem and the temple. Isn't it interesting that I'm sure God hears these same laments, as it were, even right now, as Israel suffers in their current strife? I'm pretty certain that some of you journal, you know, your prayers and your testimonies and the like. Sadly, I don't. But I certainly remember times of God's faithfulness, instances of his grace and provision. But we should also remember God's presence during times of difficulty and disappointments. Certainly to include our failures and sins, which he has indeed been faithful and just to forgive. Jeremiah certainly found that God's trustworthiness appeared as a light during the darkness in desperate circumstances. It is certainly not wrong to avoid pain when we can. I've always said I'm allergic to pain. But it is wrong to deny problems, to ignore them, or try to explain them away. One of the all great truths is that life is difficult and that life is often unfair. But in Psalms 91, verses 14 to 16 says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble." Now notice he says, "I'll be with him in trouble." God never has said that he'll be keep us from trouble. But he promises he'll be with us in trouble. He says, "I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. The better we are at seeing through trials to what they can produce in our lives and the lives of other loved ones, the better we'll be able to provide calmness, assurance, genuine love, even in the midst of trying times. And in fact, trials have the capacity to bring strength, maturity, courage, genuine love, righteousness, and the perseverance of those who are willing to be trained by them. The message that I'm bringing later is the product of the last 5 months because of the issues that I faced and how well or how not so well I and others deal with our own personal trials. I testified that my medical issues started in May 23rd with an emergency, and I dealt with it until I had surgery on September 27th. So the message that I'll speak later is a product of that. I want to end for now. I told you this was short for an opening with this scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because this is short, I think we can do a huggy break, and maybe just a good time, maybe just a little bit longer if you want, to fellowship and stuff. Amen? Hallelujah.